Morning. To question the reason for our existence, it's valuable. It is something that refocuses our attention on what is really important. To question the reason for existence, it reminds us of our purpose. Why are we on this planet? It answers that question. People question the reason for their existence personally. And that's another message that I have today. But I would refer you to this. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." What about this church? Why do we exist? Why are we here? You may ask the question at times, on these 2 acres, what are we trying to do? What's the reason for existing? Why do we mow the lawn and clean the church and teach classes and carry on the ministry? And you all are doing great with your ministries. Thank the Lord. It's an encouragement to me. But why do we do it all? Why do we do it? Listen to this little story. A preacher in Atlanta, several years ago, noticed in the restaurant's section of the Yellow Pages an entry for a place called Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused his curiosity and he dialed the number. A man answered with a cheery hello, "Church of God Grill." And the preacher asked how in the world the restaurant had been given such an unusual name. And the man said this, "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. Well, people liked the chicken, and we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church services, and after a while, we just closed the church altogether and kept on serving chicken dinners. And we kept the name we started with, Church of God's Grill." And I hope that is that's just a story. I hope nobody's been to Atlanta and there is such a thing. I hope that something like this has never happened to a local church of God. And I hope with all that is within me that we never lose our way. And I'm preaching these sermons so that we might not lose our way, that we would never depart from the biblical mission and calling of the local church. Amen? Amen. And as we look at the reason for our existence as a local church, I will be biblical. I will be true to the principles of this book. I will share with you not the Baptist way, but I will share with you the Bible way. I'll share with you what the Bible says. And may we be reminded through our time in the Word, not only today, but in the weeks to come, may we be reminded of the reason we're here. The reason for our existence. The reason God keeps us and sustains us as a local church. Let's stop and pray for a moment. Lord God, and direct in our time together. May You be pleased with our study. May You speak to each of our hearts as we continue in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 2, you remember last week, the church was born. Wind from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, fire descended, and like tongues of fire on the heads of the disciples. Peter stood up and he gave that great message. But Peter, it says, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words." And I can see Peter maybe standing on a platform somewhere and preaching the first gospel message after the church is born. He preached about Jesus and redemption and salvation based on the cross of Calvary. Look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. And it says this, "Now when they heard this," when they heard the gospel, when they heard about Jesus, "now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what? We've heard it.' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000! 3,000 came forward that day. And they said, "I do." 3,000 came forward. And they said, "I do recognize my own sin. I do recognize my helplessness. I do trust Jesus as my Savior. I do believe in Him and confess with my mouth that He is Lord." By the way, have you ever done that? Have you ever personally done that? I'm not talking about you've heard of it, or you've heard of a gospel message and somebody has done it. They've raised a hand, they've prayed a prayer, they've done something to trust Jesus as Savior. Have you done it? Can you remember a day when you were spiritually reborn? And when they received His Word, look at Acts 2:41. They were baptized. They were baptized. A local church is an assembly of believers who have been baptized, are organized with pastors and deacons, meeting for the purpose of observing the ordinances, one of which is baptism. Baptism, it is what we do here. It is a portion of what defines what we do and our purpose. Baptism is a command given to the local church. And I want you to turn to the Great Commission, Matthew 28, if you will. Matthew chapter 28. And you know these verses, but I want to point some things out. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." I want you to look at verse 19. And in these two verses, if you've ever heard someone preach on the Great Commission, if you know anything about this, these two verses, there's only one command. Linguistically in the Greek, there's only one command. Teach all nations. Look at it in verse 19. Teach all nations, or in your translation maybe, make disciples, make followers of Christ, make followers of Christ who will trust Him as Savior and follow Him from here to eternity and never turn back. Make disciples. Teach all nations. That's the command given in the Great Commission. First, hold that in your mind. First, how is it, and you've heard preachers say this, that the Great Commission is given to the local church? How is that true? Well, last week we talked about the birth of the church. It is what Jesus predicted. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then it included the great presence and power of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 7, on the eve of the cross, if I depart, I will send him to you. And then we looked at, Jesus said, wait for the Spirit. Don't do anything. Don't do anything until this happens. Acts 1:4, let me read it to you. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And not many days hence, Acts chapter 2, the church was born. The church began. And a sound from heaven of that great and mighty wind and the tongues of flames over the disciples, and those 3,000 souls were saved. The church of Christ was born. We said last week, now listen, the church of Jesus is his heartbeat. It's his passion. It's what he thinks about 24/7. There are wonderful parachurch organizations. Para means with or alongside of. There are Focus on the Family, Samaritan's Purse, church media companies. But there's nothing like the church. Amen. There's nothing like the local church. The local church is where God is doing his ministry. Much of the New Testament is either written to or about the local church. 95 times in the New Testament, ecclesia refers to a local church like Maranatha. The church, it is the platform on which God is doing his ministry in this day. It is the platform. And on that platform is the Great Commission. On that platform is the Great Commission. It is given to the local church. Next, look at in verse 19, Matthew 28:19. The one command, teach all nations, make disciples. Within that command is to baptize individuals who trust in Jesus. Baptize individuals who say, I do, to Jesus. Read verse 19. Look at it. Follow along as I read it. Go therefore, make disciples. Included in that is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These are directives given to the local church. These are directives given to the local church of every age to carry out the Great Commission, which includes baptism, which includes baptizing. Now let me say this. Down through history, secular history, the church in name, not the church I would identify with, forced people to be baptized with the edge of a sword. You've read it, right? You've read about the Crusaders. You've read about the conquerors of South America. Charlemagne, Holy Roman Emperor, 1,200 years ago, listen to what he said. If there is anyone of the Saxon people, a Germanic tribe, lurking among them unbaptized, and if he scorns to come to baptism and wishes to be absent himself and stay a pagan, let him die. So whether it's a Roman emperor or it's the Crusaders or the conquerors of South America, many down through history, they were baptized on the point of a sword. And they were baptized and they claimed Christianity on the threat of death. And that's history. We've talked about baptism last week, and now we're making it the centerpiece of this morning. And I'm saying it's a command. It's a part of the command to teach, to make, teach and make disciples. And I'm forcefully teaching about it today. Maybe you think, I've got this spiritual sword, and you have to be baptized. Maybe pastor is saying, here he goes again with baptism. Pastor says, I ought to do it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Great Commission given to the local church. I guess I have to be baptized. Let me ask you a question. Would you ever force someone, a spouse or a mom or a sister or family member, would you ever force someone to say, I love you, to you? Would you ever force someone to say, I love you, to you? Would you like that? I wouldn't like it. And you know what? God doesn't like it either. Baptism is not salvation. Salvation is saying, I do to Jesus. He is my Savior from my sins. Baptism is saying to everyone and anyone publicly, I'm with Him. I love Him. My allegiance is to Him. I've gotten saved and I'm on His side. I'm His disciple. I'll follow Him from here to eternity. That's what baptism is. And it must come from your heart. It must be something that you want to do. Some churches in town, or maybe some churches that you know of, they may baptize anyone and everyone. And the pastor might, you know, push people into baptism. You got to be baptized. Baptism is good. It's in obedience to God's word. But I'm very careful about it. It must be you saying, it must be you saying, I'm with Him. I love Him. My allegiance is to Him. It must come from your heart. A local church is an assembly of believers who have been baptized, are organized with pastors and deacons, meeting for the observance of the ordinances, one of which is baptism. One more passage. Would you turn to Acts chapter 8? The baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26, and this is what it says. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. An Ethiopian eunuch, a government official of a kingdom just south of Egypt. It says Ethiopia. We're not sure it's the modern day Ethiopia. It's a country just south of Egypt in Jesus' day. He had traveled to Jerusalem. He had come back. He had worshipped at Jerusalem. At least he was seeking God. He was seeking God. Look at verse 28. And this is what it says. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand? Do you get it? Do you understand what you're reading? Look at verse 31. He said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip the evangelist of the first century goes to this Ethiopian eunuch. You're reading the Bible. Do you understand it? And he says, how can I understand it if someone doesn't help me? Can I ask you this question? Could you ask someone if they understand the Bible? Tomorrow at work, or maybe in your extended family, they bring up a verse, or they say they went to church. Could you say to them, do you understand what the preacher said? Do you understand what this verse means? Can you explain a Bible truth to someone who is showing interest in this holy book? Here comes the gospel. Look at verse 32. Acts chapter 8, verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. This is talking about Jesus. And as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's Jesus. That's the cross. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, whom does a prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning of the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Preached Jesus to him. The scripture is used and Jesus is a subject. Can I say this morning? If you don't have the scripture and Jesus is not the subject, you don't have the gospel. Amen? Just saying something nice or encouraging is not the gospel. It must be these holy scriptures, and Jesus must be the subject. That's the gospel. Amen? That's what Philip did. He gave the gospel to this man, to this government official. This is before any baptism. This is before any baptism, what we're talking about today. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism cannot save you. Baptism cannot put you in the kingdom of God. Only the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Only the gospel of Jesus. And placing your personal trust in Him, saying, I do. Now here comes baptism. Look at verse 36. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, they went down into the water. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took away Philip. Look at verse 36. What hinders me from being baptized? The Amplified puts it this way. Look, there's water. What forbids me from being baptized? Have you ever thought that? What is stopping me? What is stopping me from being baptized? Why don't I get baptized? Philip said to the government official, look at verse 37. If you believe with all your heart, he replies, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have believed here today. I hope that you have. I hope that everyone here, you've trusted Jesus as Savior. What stops you? What stops you from saying publicly, my allegiance is to the one who saved me. My allegiance is to Him. I'll follow Him from here to the valley of the shadow of death throughout eternity. something important about this baptism. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. Then it says they come out of the water. Biblical baptism is believers' baptism by immersion. In order to be baptized, you first have to be able to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You first have to be able to say, I do to Jesus. You first have to have new life in Jesus. And the word baptized, look at it. Look at the word baptized in this passage in verse 38. That word, and the word in the Great Commission, and every time the word is used in the New Testament about baptism, it is used of immersion. Someone said this, baptize. The Greek is baptizo. It is a transliteration, and it means to dip or to immerse. Nowhere does this term ever indicate sprinkling. Never in regards to baptism. Biblical baptism is not for babies. Biblical baptism is never sprinkling. Believer's baptism by immersion after salvation is to symbolize the death and burial and the resurrection. Just as Jesus died, I die to sins. Just as Jesus arose, I arise to new life. It is symbolic of your previous salvation, and you declare it to anyone and everyone. Go back to verse 36. I want you to go back to the question we spoke of earlier, verse 36. The Ethiopian eunuch, what hinders me from being baptized? Look, water. What forbids me from being baptized? What is stopping me? Why don't I get baptized? Some people are afraid of water. There are fears in baptism. I fully recognize it. There are fears. The pastor is going to drown me. That's what's going to happen. The pastor's going to get in there and I'm going to go under. He's not going to let me up. The water is going to be cold. The water is going to be too deep. Everyone's going to look at me. I understand it. I do. Someone wrote this. And I hope this story isn't true either. I'm going to read it to you though. The story is told about the baptism of King Angus, king of Ireland. St. Patrick in the middle of the 5th century. Sometime during the baptism, during the rite, St. Patrick leaned on his sharp pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. After the baptism was over, Patrick looked down at all the blood and realized what he had done, and he begged the king's forgiveness. Why did you suffer the pain in silence? St. Patrick said. And the king replied, I thought it was a part of the rite. I thought it was a part of the baptism. I'm afraid to get baptized. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to get wet or cold. I have fears. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm your pastor. And I care about you. Yeah. I do. And I will never dismiss your fears. I will never say that your fears are not valid. Some fears are legitimate. And if you're afraid, it's okay. The Lord knows and cares. And I care. But at the end of the day, you're going to stand for Jesus. At the end of the day, you're going to pledge your allegiance to Him. To anyone and everyone who will listen. You're going to say that I'm following Him. That I'm following Him from here to the valley of the shadow of death and on through eternity. I'm with Him. I'm His.
He's my Savior. Biblical baptism. Believer's baptism by immersion. If you are a parent or a grandparent, please teach it to your young people. Teach it to your young people. If you are a teacher of any kind here at Maranatha, please teach it to your students. Teach it to your students. And if you have never done it, do it. Decide today. Let people know where you stand. That's all it is. I'm going to let people know I'm with Him. No matter what comes, no matter where I go or what I do, I'm with Jesus. And I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow Him through life, through marriage and family and work. And when I get at the end of this life of the valley of death, I'm going to follow Him through eternity. I am His and He is mine. I stand with Him. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you bow your heads this morning? Is this the day you decide? Is this the day that you decide? Is there anyone here that would like to indicate, I haven't been baptized, but I want to be baptized? You could be a young person, you could be an adult, you can be a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa. I haven't been baptized, but I want to be baptized. Would you just slip up your hands out faster? I know that you care. I have fears, but I'm going to work through those. Is there anyone? Just slip up your hands and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Is there anyone here this morning? Lord, we come before You in Jesus' name, and we give You thanks. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one as precious as our Lord. And I pray that everyone here, they've trusted Him as Savior. If they've not, they will stop me at the door and say, please tell me more. Lord, I pray for anyone and anyone here. If they have any indication they want to be baptized, that they would let me know today. Oh Lord, help us to walk with You, to talk with You, to trust You, to believe You, to love You. Oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, I have decided to trust Jesus.